Good evening, everyone.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Russ Terry, the creator and executive producer of the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm here tonight with a couple of my colleagues who I'm going to introduce in a second. We are so excited that you tuned in tonight. The process of fully becoming oneself is a topic near and dear to each of our hearts, and we hope it is near and dear to yours too. So over the course of the next hour, we're going to talk about our own process of becoming ourselves and what we've seen in our clients. We also have somebody scheduled to call in to offer comments on what she's seen with her clients, and we would love to hear from you. So here's the phone number. I'm going to give it to you now, 646-716-9397. That's the number to call in to ask a question or make a comment. We'll give it out a bunch of times during the course of the show. For those of you that haven't heard me on the network before, I've been a life coach for a little more than a year. My areas of expertise are women who finally want to put themselves first and career transition. And I am loving life running this Life Coach Radio Network, and hopefully you're enjoying the content. We have a show virtually every day, so tonight we're going to tell you about the shows coming up the next 3 days in addition to all the fun stuff we're going to talk about tonight. So let me bring in my co-hosts for the night. Tim Billiter is a New York City area-based certified life and life purpose coach on a mission to remind others of who they truly are at the core of their being. And he facilitates the creation of a life based on that truth. Sounds great, doesn't it? His goal is to help people develop thought processes and practical skills to move through life with much more ease and grace. Tim, thanks for being on tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Me too. All right. And the third musketeer tonight, know what a musketeer he is. Mark Shaul is dedicated to helping people and organizations achieve their highest possible level of excellence and effectiveness. He's a specialist in the area of human relations and interpersonal communications. In his training classes, he uses a unique blend of instructional teaching and motivational speaking, providing dynamic seminars, which I've witnessed, focusing on the areas of interpersonal communication, personal effectiveness, goal setting, organizational change, diversity, workplace harassment, and more. Mark, that was quite an intro. Welcome.
Thank you, Russ. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So the process of becoming fully ourselves, the three of us spoke yesterday about it, but now's our chance to talk to everyone else about it. I know we each have a story. Tim, why don't we start with you? What's your story? How did you become fully yourself?
Well, I think the first thing that, you know, I want everybody to know is that when we talk about the process of becoming ourselves, it really is a process. And it's not something that we are going to do overnight. It's probably a lifelong process. And for me, you know, I'm a gay man, and I'll go out on the limb and out all of us. We're all gay men, but and I'm sorry if I took anybody's thunder away from you.
Oh my God, no totally one knew that fine. About me, Tim.
That's the funniest thing ever.
The gay thing really was not the major portion of the area of my life that was about becoming myself. You know, coming out as a gay man was sort of like the first step, but I grew up in a family that, you know, I had very high expectations of who I was supposed to be, what I was supposed to do, where I was supposed to live, what I was supposed to be interested in, how I was supposed to think. And at about the age 25, I moved with my very first partner to New York City at the chagrin of my mother, because she really wanted to keep me close by. And the thing about it is, for me, is that I didn't go through sort of the rebellion stage in my teenage years. I did it at about the middle, in my mid-20s. And it was a rough period of time. And I wasn't a very pretty person to be around because I was really, like, rebellious. And on my 29th birthday, my mother decided it was too much and she couldn't take it anymore. And she told me she just couldn't speak to me any longer, that our relationship just had to be done. And that lasted 11 years. And first of all, I don't want anybody to think badly of my mother because I really was a pain in the ass. And secondly, what I want people to know is that for me, that was the best 11 years of my life because all of a sudden I had to figure out who I was, what I wanted, what I thought, what I liked, what I disliked, who I wanted to be, what I wanted to do. And I didn't have that thing to fall back on to have somebody else tell me what I was supposed to be or who I was supposed to be. And when it was time to come back into the relationship with my parents, 11 years later, right around the time I was between 40 and 41, I came back into the situation as an adult. So I see so many people that go through their lives, even into their adulthood, and they get with their parents and they see, you see them revert back to the way that they always were because it's mommy and daddy and you want that validation. I didn't need that anymore because I'd lived 11 years without it. And so when I came back into the relationship with my parents, it was like we both came in as adults. It's so much fun to actually go back and not have all that baggage that I carried around. But it was also painful, and it was but it was not miserable. It was painful. It was. I kind of think it's like the pain of an athlete. You know, when you go out for a run, it can be painful. But it's pain in the sense that you're building on something. And that's kind of what becoming my own self was. It was really just building on myself, little by little by little by little, until I became comfortable with myself.
So pain may very well be necessary to build, i.e. to achieve higher levels of happiness and joy.
Pain is inevitable, suffering is optional.
Oh my gosh. That is our first tweet, as Oprah would say. Pain is inevitable, suffering is optional. So did you suffer when you weren't talking to your parents?
You know, I didn't have time to suffer. It was painful at times, but I was so busy, like, living my life and creating my life and figuring out who I was that I just didn't have time to suffer. And I think I probably suffered more before, you know, in the old way of living, because suffering is kind of a low level of pain that you just kind of live with. And when you're trying to live up to somebody else's ideal of who you should be, and that's not who you want to be at all, that's far more painful than going through things and figuring it out. At least it was for me.
So, listeners, if you know of life coaching, you'll know that we often ask empowering questions. We don't usually give advice, but we want our clients to figure things out on their own. Because of the topic we're discussing and what Tim has said about his experience, I do want to ask you, what advice do you have for people right now who are listening who are not their true selves?
I think that the advice that I would give to anybody is that value yourself enough to figure it out and stop allowing somebody else to define you. It's your life. You were given this life. It's your life to live. Nobody can live it for you. You can't live anybody else's. And, you know, go out and create the life that you want to create for yourself. Have courage.
Have the courage.
Yeah, and courage. And courage is not a lack of fear. It's having the fear and doing it anyway.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to get carpal tunnel syndrome writing down all your tweets. Courage is having the fear and doing it anyway. Awesome. Good stuff. All right, Tim, we'll come back to you in a second. Mark, I want to go to you, but before we start, your story Why don't you tell the listeners how they can join us in the chat room if they want to engage in the discussion with us?
Absolutely. So if you want to join us in the chat room, you'll actually need to create a free account on Blog Talk Radio. So you can do so on blogtalkradio.com. You'll create the account. You'll get an email confirming your account, and you'll be able to use this account for chat rooms for any other program you listen to on the air on Blog Talk Radio after this. You'll get an email address confirming that you intended to set up the account, and then you'll be asked to change your login information from the temporary one that they send you. You'll need to log in with the temporary one, change it. The process does take a few minutes. And then once you're in the account, logged in, and you're in the show, in order to select the chat tab to join the chat room, that's scroll down to the bottom of the screen, and that's where you'll see that information. So if you're wanting to participate at all later in the show, go ahead and create your account now while you're listening, because it may take a few minutes to set up that process.
Awesome. Good stuff, Mark. Thanks for knowing that process so we can help our listeners engage with us in as many ways as possible. And speaking of that, if you want to tweet at us, it's Coach Host Radio. Coach Host Radio. You can also like us on Facebook, Life Coach Radio Network. That's Life Coach Radio Network. And again, the phone number, if you want to call in and make a comment or ask a question, 646-716-9397. Okay, Mark, what is your story of becoming your true self?
I've got several. The one I'm going to focus on, also, like Tim, doesn't really focus on my coming out as a gay man, although that is certainly a life's journey in discovering and being and becoming my authentic self. But more in the realm of really finding my calling in life and how that relates to my true self. So I always knew as a kid I wanted to be on stage. I wanted to be in front of the room. There was just absolutely no doubt about that. In fact, I remember my first day of kindergarten, and I remember this like it was, 5 years ago. Meanwhile, it was only 20 years ago. No comment. But I remember seeing this thing in the corner of the room, and it was made of wood. It had two little steps on either side of it and a platform in the middle. And I was drawn to it. I had no idea what it was, but I looked at it and I couldn't wait for the teacher to tell us what that was. I was just drawn to it. And I knew that I wanted to stand on it. And it stood about maybe, probably a foot high. I was drawn to it. So finally the teacher tells us what this little thing was. It was the stage for show and tell. My life has never been the same from that moment on. And she explained to us what show and tell was. And I was like, oh, my God, that is so awesome. I can't wait to do this. And then she broke my heart by saying that we only do show and tell on Tuesdays and that everybody has to get one chance to go before you can go again. I wanted to do it every day. That was like, oh. It's devastating news. So, make a long story, only moderately long, as I like to say. Became a life challenge of really appropriately channeling my desires to have that kind of attention. So throughout my life, you can imagine as an immature kid, I didn't necessarily channel those desires in the most appropriate way. So I used to get in trouble. I used to be the class clown. I used to get sent out of the room and all that kind of stuff. I would tell jokes at times when no one wanted to hear them. And then even as I grew up and even through college, I would think my jokes were so funny that there was no way anybody would say no if I say, hey, you want to hear a joke? Even when they said no, I would tell them anyway. And I wouldn't get why they would get annoyed. And it was always this constant struggle and this kind of need to be on stage. And it finally, I would do the school plays, and I was always trying to get the lead role, and I always wanted to be number one and out in front and get all the attention. And it was motivated at the time by a real need for attention, and quite an inappropriate one, I'll say. And it ultimately morphed and channeled as I got older and more mature and more skilled and more clear and focused on my purpose in life and who I truly was. I realized that, yeah, my true purpose in life did have to do with being on stage and in front of rooms of people, but not to get attention, but more to give attention and to contribute to others. And I found that once I got that lesson, I got that message, the stages opened up for me, the fronts of the rooms opened up for me without having to try so hard in other ways to get it to happen. I remember there was one time I was dating somebody, and every time we were together, he was always shushing me, as if I was talking too loud or being too big in my energy. And I know I've got a very big energy. If you're walking down the street with me or you're in a restaurant with me, people are going to see you. My energy is big, and I draw attention kind of naturally. He was fundamentally uncomfortable with that, and always shushing me and making me smaller, so to speak. And I just remember one day when I was, we were out at a restaurant in West Hollywood, and they had a karaoke thing going on. And I put a slip in to the karaoke guy while I went to the bathroom without telling my partner at the time. And I was going to surprise him with a song. And when I came back to the table, he realized that I must have done something. He goes, "Oh, what did you do?" And I said, "Nothing. Why?" And he goes, "Oh, you're not going to sing, are you?" He said, "I hate that. Don't do that." And I was like, I'm about to stand in front of this restaurant full of people and sing a love song to you, and your response is, "Oh, I hate that?" I said, "You're going to listen, and you're going to love it, and you're going to be flattered by it." And then, of course, I did. And then later on, we had a conversation, and this is a real turning point for me. I had said to him, "I know that my energy tends to draw attention. If you are fundamentally uncomfortable with that, this is never going to work. I love you, and this is not going to work, because that's not going to change. That's not how this flower grows." And as I've told that story to many people in my seminars and classes, so many people have resonated with that and have then wanted to know from me, you know, how was I able to just become comfortable in my own skin that way, become comfortable with that's me and being that and not apologizing for it. And so that's been my growth process. And now, you know, I have a very high level of comfort with who I am and the fact that, yeah, you know, I have the gift of gab. I talk a lot and I like to be on. And that's clearly my gift. And it's what makes me effective at what I do. And that's why part of my journey as a coach is to help others discover their own version of that. What's your authentic self that you're trying to hold back because of other people's expectations and other people's demands and other people's comfort level? What parts of you are you apologizing for that, you know, that just doesn't work for you? And how do you find that way to really truly express that who you are from an authentic and positive place, not from a defensive one, but from just a real contributory one that contributes to the people around you? And that's my life quest, and that's what I help others with, whether that's in organizations and companies and businesses and people expressing themselves as leaders, or individuals expressing themselves in their lives and in all their and in all of their relationships.
And I think I know that resonates with me, and it probably does with a lot of others too, that many of us have probably been in relationships or dating situations or even marriages where the person didn't like us as we are or were. And that's not a good feeling. People shouldn't have to change or have to feel like they can't be fully themselves around their partner because their partner doesn't like that part of them. And we shouldn't have to change for our partner. And obviously, there's some compromise in relationships, but changing our true self is a lot different than compromising on little things like, you know, I don't know, seeing the in-laws on a particular day that, you know, you don't want to or something like that. But
right.
I think your story really sets a positive example that maybe there are people out there listening tonight or to the archive version of this after tonight that will be perhaps dating somebody new or not even that new, that they feel unappreciated and that the person actually would prefer that they were different in a certain way.
Sure. Absolutely. If I can just add one thing to that as well, just something that came to me as you were talking. When I was a kid, or even in high school, my friends, the big joke about me was, oh, Mark's going to tell another story. Mark's going to tell another story. And we've probably heard the story already. So my friends used to say, as soon as I would start telling a story, they would just go, oh, this is number 36. And it was, it was all humorous and in love, but the message was, like, you tell too many stories. You talk too much. And that's what I've always been hearing. What's interesting now is, as a coach and as a trainer and public speaker, one of the main pieces of feedback that I get most frequently is that the stories that I tell are very inspiring and that they really illustrate the points that I'm trying to make clearly and beautifully. So what I want to say about that is that things that you have sort of been beat over the head about over the course of your life that you know at some level are gifts of yours, focus in on them and find a way to express them in a way that really, really contributes to other people, because they are your gift. You just haven't found the right expression of it yet.
Yeah, and we all have – yeah, please, go for it, Tim.
Your story reminded me something of Mark, and what it reminded me of is that part of the reason I think so many of us hide our true selves is because we're afraid that the people around us are going to reject us.
Right.
And human beings, out of anything and everything, I think the thing we crave the most is connection. I mean, the worst thing you can do to a prisoner is put him in solitary confinement. And I think that I want people to understand is that we get so caught up in the ties that we already have and the connections that we already have, and we're so afraid of losing those connections, when the reality is if you're yourself, you will draw other people around you that will appreciate you for who you are. You're not going to be alone. You're not going to be rejected by the world. You may be rejected by certain people, but you will find people that will come in and take their place if you give it a chance.
Yeah,
and Tim, that's such an astute observation, because that fear of rejection is so prevalent. We've just heard it a lot in the last 3 weeks in the news since Jason Collins, the NBA basketball player, came out 3 weeks ago. And he himself has said in many of the interviews since that he was afraid of being rejected by his family. And when he told each of his family members, he was unequivocally supported by all of them. And I think it's that fear of the unknown that makes people hide their true selves or not become their true selves. And one of the phrases I like to use with my clients is, instead of worrying about the what if, i.e. what if somebody rejects me, what do you think about concentrating on the what are, i.e. what is the current situation? What do you know? You know, so in his case, his parents are incredibly loving. They have a great family dynamic. Everybody is really close. There probably was little to no evidence that they would reject him. But because a lot of times for us, it's human nature to worry about what may happen in the future, or in this case, you know, the present, when you tell somebody, chances are it's not going to happen. And we just have to live our authentic life and let the chips fall where they may, but I really believe that the chips are going to fall exactly where they're intended to fall, and that's going to be in a good place.
Yeah, and even if it does happen, you live through it. I'm living proof of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I add something to that also, Russ?
Always, please.
The concept, you know, behind that, because, you know, Tim, you really hit the nail on the head there. We put these masks on because we're afraid that what's really showing is going to be rejected. So we put on a mask. And then what happens is people come into our lives who really resonate with what they see, which is the mask. The tragedy in that is that one day the mask slips. It can't stay on without slipping at some point, especially when that person is your most intimate partner. And the mask slips. And then the person's like, what? Like, what is this? This isn't what I thought you were. And meanwhile, people who would have resonated with the true us, they've passed us by all our lives because we've been trying to attract people that resonate with this mask that we've created. If we take that mask off and we just put out who we truly are, yeah, we're still going to push some people away. Absolutely, like Tim said. At the same time, we're going to attract people that really resonate with who we truly are. And those people will stay with us for life with all of our imperfections and all of our blemishes. You know, so as long as we're going to repel some and attract another with or without the mask, we might as well do it without. It takes so much energy to keep the mask up.
It really does. It really does. All right, Mark Shaw, Tim Billiter, and I'm Russ Terry. You're listening to Life Coach Chat, The Process of Becoming One's True Self, here on the Life Coach Radio Network. Before we get to the halfway point, I just want to remind you, we have shows basically every day. We are going to take off Saturday and Sunday for Memorial Day weekend, but other than that, we have shows almost every day. Tomorrow night at 7:30 Eastern, Purposeful Conversations with Jose Albino. That is a very interesting show. Like us, he too is a life coach, and he is going to have a great guest tomorrow night, writer and life consultant Carmen Pena. She's had a lot of success with her workshops, Conversations with Carmen, Life's Big Questions, and Practical Ways to Live Your Best Life Now. So that's tomorrow night here on the Life Coach Radio Network at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Then Thursday afternoon, our London-based coach, it's David Benjamin Citron's Transform Your Life in 30 Minutes. That's at 3 p.m. on Thursday, May 23rd. And then, Mark, you're going to be back on the air on Friday for Life Coach Chat, Free Coaching Friday at noon on Friday. What's your topic this week?
Our topic this week is the four things that get in your way of achieving your goals. So the title of our show is Help, I Want It So Bad, But It's Always Just Out of My Reach.
That is an interesting concept. Wow. Okay. So our Free Coaching Friday has been very popular. That's our most popular show so far since we premiered May 1st, our Free Coaching Friday from two Fridays ago. So I look forward to that, Mark, and his team on Life Coach Chat that day. I'm sure we'll have a lot of great things to say. So on the Life Coach Radio Network, we have individual shows like tomorrow and Thursday, and then Life Coach Chat, like you're listening to today and Friday too. All right, so in addition to becoming one's true self for the first time, which is what we have talked about so far, there's also the concept of getting back to me, i.e. getting back to my true self. We have gotten away from that. So now we're going to pull in another life coach. The name of her company is Getting Back to Me. Deirdre, are you on the line?
Hello.
Hello,
I'm here. Can you hear
Deirdre?
Me?
We can hear
Hi,
you.
Deirdre.
Great. Thank you.
Hi, Mark. Hi, Tim. Hi, Russ.
Hello, hello, hello. All right. So Deirdre works with people to help them. Getting Back to Me is the name of your company. So what
yes.
exactly is that?
So Getting Back to Me is really about getting back on the path to your own happiness. So what that means is, for whatever reason, we know life happens, and sometimes we get off track. Sometimes we need to shift paths. And mainly with Getting Back to Me, my focus is to work with parents, especially single moms, who find themselves having had to readjust themselves while they were on their path. So when they had their families, you know, maybe they had to stop going to school. Maybe they had to stop going to work. Maybe they had to shift careers, whatever it was. And then they look at their life and realize, you know what, I'm not happy with where I am now. I need to get back to me. I need to get back to where I was before. I need to get back to what really makes me happy. So that's what my focus is, really understanding what that component is that's currently missing from their lives, helping them acknowledge it, and creating a plan to get them back on that path to happiness.
I love that concept, and it's so needed because so many people, single moms especially, have no time whatsoever to concentrate on themselves. So the me slips because kids
exactly. Yeah.
Understandably so. Wow.
And then
that's
kind of what society, I mean, and not only society, but this is how it happens. You kind of feel like it, and that guilt factor comes in. Oh, I can't do this because, you know, my priority should be my children. My priority should be my husband. My priority should be my aging mother. My priority needs to be, you know, my sister who's now living with me. The priority is always someone else, and this is kind of what we're, in some instances, brought up to believe, where my whole thought process is, how are you going to be the best mom, the best daughter, the best sister, or even speaking in with men, you know, the best brother, the best father, the best teacher, the best leader that you can be if you're not the best you? You need to really focus on yourself and be the best you that you can be in order to help other people, you know, get where they want to be on their paths.
So true. It's like when you're on an airplane and they announce, put your mask on before you put your kid's mask on, that you have to take care of yourself to best take care of others, whether it's
exactly.
a kid or an aging parent or whatever. So
right.
for the people that you work with, what are one or two questions that you ask them to help get them on the path to get back to me?
Well, one thing that I really try to get an understanding of is when was it when they were at their happiest point? What were they doing? What did that feel like? What did that look like? You know, just tell me about a time when you couldn't stop smiling. And what did that do for you? What were you doing? What kind of setting were you in? I try to get them to put me back in that space, back in that time frame, and then we kind of work from there, because obviously things like that you're not going to forget. You know, there are just certain things in your life, when you're at your happiest moment, you're not going to forget that. You're going to remember every single detail, and that's something that I'd like for them to relive, because it's absolutely possible for us to recreate that moment. So I feel like that's one of the main things that I ask, and especially prior to having the children or prior to being married, prior to having these life-changing instances, you know, you kind of want to get them back into that space and understand what really changed between then and now, and how possible is it for us to recreate that in some way, shape, or form, even if it's not the exact same scenario. It can't be, because we have these added components, but if we're able to implement some of those things that were happening prior, then that'll give a sense of familiarity in the current space.
Oh my gosh, those are all such excellent questions. You're listening to Life Coach Chat here on the Life Coach Radio Network. That's Deirdre Clark. I'm Russ Terry. We're also here with Mark Shaw and Tim Billiter. If you want to call in and join the discussion, 646-716-9397, 646-716-9397. We'd love to hear from you. Mark, let's go back to you. So what of what Deirdre said resonated most with you? What's a situation either in your life or your clients' lives where the person got away from themselves and needed to, quote, get back to me?
Let's see. I think one story that really comes to mind about the whole getting back to me idea is somebody that I work with, is a friend of mine. And by the way, I really loved what you had to say, so thank you for all of that. It's just really very powerful. And the situation that I want to share about that I think is relevant here. A friend of mine that I worked with, who was raised Orthodox Jewish, ultra Orthodox Jewish, and I met him when he was first beginning to explore the fact that he was probably gay, and he of course was holding that back. So that's the part of himself that he ultimately needed to get back to on his journey, the me that he needs to get back to. And this was 13 years ago, and wonderful guy. We had actually met online in a chat room, and the sort of big brother in me came out, and I felt very protective and wanting to just kind of give him the space to open up, to get in touch with himself. And so we chatted online for like hours and hours and hours in the middle of the night. I ultimately gave him my phone number so that he can still, you know, have me to talk to. Make a long story short, what a couple little milestone points. I suggested one day that he would go to the gay and lesbian synagogue in New York, and that would really be a way of him being able to bridge his Judaism with his homosexuality. And his comment at the time was, "No way. Never the two shall meet. They don't belong together, and they will never be together." And so time goes by. We finally met in person after 3 months of talking only by phone or online. He was actually afraid to meet me in person because of his own stereotype notions that he had been taught about what gay men were like and who they were. And I invited him finally to a concert of the New York City Gay Men's Chorus, who I've been singing with for 18 years. And we met in the lobby after the show. It was a turning point for him. Then ultimately, down the road, he started attending LGBT employee association meetings at the firm that he worked for. He was working for a large company. And he did that after hearing the CEO of this major company say, the reason why it's important, and it was in honor of Gay Pride Month, he said, the reason why it's important to me as the CEO of this company that you be able to be 100% yourself at work. Because if you can't bring 100% of who you are to work, then you can't perform as well as I need you to. And that was really profound for him. So he started attending the meetings regularly of the LGBT Association. He started attending without revealing his name or his department because he was just really scared. He eventually became the president of that organization. And now ultimately he has gone on, he's now created an organization, it's actually a little production company, that creates social events, large-scale social events for gay Jews in Manhattan. He has been recognized in the gay press all over the place, for bringing his Judaism to gay life. And then just recently, just this week, he was named as one, named by Jewish Week, I think, which is a modern Orthodox Jewish magazine. They recognized him as one of 36 people under the age of 36 who have made a significant contribution to the Jewish community as a gay man.
Wow.
That is awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, and it was just, I'm so proud of him. It's incredible. His last event, it's a gay Jewish Christmas Eve party called the Jubilee. and there were 1,100 people there.
Wow, it's so inspiring to see people come so far.
Yeah, it really is. And that's what getting back to who you really are allows to have happen in your life. And the people that he has contributed to and has paid forward what I've done with him. And he said to me, I don't know how I can ever repay you one day. I said, just pay it forward. He's paid it forward to so many people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really, really great. So when we get back to me, other people around us get to get back to them.
Yes.
And it's a ripple effect.
Oh, my gosh. I love that. When we get back to me, other people around us get to get back to them.
Mm. Is that going to be a tweet?
It may be. I have so many of these. I'm going to be tweeting all day tomorrow. Tim, let's go to you. So if we continue on Deirdre's theme of getting back to me, what's an example of a story either from you personally or somebody that you've worked with or in your life where they got away from themselves and got back to me? How did they get back to me?
Well, that wasn't the road I was going to go down, but let me think about that for a second. Well, first of all, I got to say, Deirdre, I am so happy to hear your voice.
Oh, Tim.
Isn't that great?
You know, I'm not sure that I have an answer to the exact question that you're asking me, but I do have something that struck me about what she was talking about. That
please,
it was about how she was talking about how society sort of expects people to act a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, I was watching the Oprah show, you know, my Oprah. I love my Oprah.
My Oprah.
She had a woman on who had written a book about the difference between European parenting and American parenting. And the thing that she was talking about was that the Europeans don't see their children as the center of the universe. They put their relationships and they put themselves first because they understand that they're modeling for their children. Mm. That what they do is what their children are going to see and ultimately how their children are going to behave or take in to be what is right for themselves. The funny thing about it was that the women in the audience wanted to go up on the stage and rip that woman's heart out.
Whoa.
Was palpable, the anger that these women in the audience had for the woman on the stage just for suggesting that, you know what, you're going to be with your husband in your entire life. Maybe you should put that relationship first because your kids are going to grow up and go away. Then what's going to happen to your relationship at that point in time if you've not paid it any attention? It was crazy, the anger in the room. And the reality is that from the time that we have children, from the time that they are babies, and, you know, Dee, you're a mom, you know this really well. The time that you have a baby, your baby is watching every single thing that you do.
Absolutely.
Mimic it. And I think that we think in some certain point in time they reach this age and they stop mimicking us and then they start going by what we say. Wrong,
mm-hmm.
wrong. You know, the do as I say, not as I do thing does not work.
Mm-hmm.
Truth is expressed in how you act, not in what you say. And if you are modeling for your children that, you know, you can't take care of yourself and you can't do what's good for you and you can't be fully yourself, then they're going to grow up and do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I totally, totally agree with that. And I've even, and I can totally attest to that because I've grown up like that. And it honestly took this course that we all were so fortunate to go through for me to realize that I've been spending time doing things the way that other people expected me to do them or doing things because this is what I thought in my head would be the right thing to do. And no, I'm not necessarily, back then I wasn't necessarily happy with the path that I was going down, but I had responsibilities. And at the end of the day, I had to, be woman enough to take care of my responsibilities and neglecting the feelings that I felt inside because this is how I saw my mom do it. And this is how I thought that it was supposed to be done because my mom had dreams and ambitions and she had goals. And my mom actually was an entrepreneur at my age. She owned her own restaurant and decided that she wanted to have kids. And because she wanted to have kids and I was her firstborn, she gave up her restaurant so that she can be a mom. And at that point, I would assume her dream or her goal at that point had changed. But then, you know, even now that I'm an adult And in conversation with her, I don't get the sense that she regretted it, but I do get the sense that she kind of wished that she was able to do both, or that she had done both, and not necessarily one or the other. So, you know, in living through that experience and knowing that my mom has dealt with that, and I just remember going through this program and having it in my head that, no, you know, this is why I wanted to go to school, this is why I wanted to finish school while I had Samaya, because I knew that that was my goal. I could do both. There's no reason why I couldn't do both. There's no reason why I can't have my cake and eat it too. And, you know, some people just feel like they need to choose one or the other, and that's not necessarily true. You can have everything that you want as long as you claim that this is what you want. If that's something that you truly want to have, then you can do it all.
And how many of us,
Clark, you are so freaking wise. When are you going to have your own radio show? Because the world needs to hear you for a full hour. I'm talking in my Oprah voice now. I'm going to be Oprah,
cars
and you're
coming
gonna
out,
be...
Russ? When are the cars coming out?
Oh, my gosh. I'm Oprah, and you're Ian LaVanzant, and I think I've just discovered you, and I can't wait to watch and listen to your show every week. I'm sorry. I just had to go into my inner Oprah. Let me calm back down. Tim, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just bouncing off what she was already talking about. How many of us, and I know this feeling, but how many people out there have gone through their childhood having their parents wanting you to fulfill their dreams that they never fulfilled for themselves?
Oh, my gosh. So true, and even more than just parents. My aunt, who I was very close to, I was born on her birthday. We celebrated our birthdays together for the first 38 or 39 years of my life until she passed away. She always wanted me to become a priest, and she would always, you know, not even her own kids, but it was me that she wanted to become a priest, I guess because I was an altar boy and did readings at church and stuff like that, and I didn't want to become a priest. I wanted to live my own life, and, you know, that I was sure of. The other stuff, it took me longer to figure out, but it's so tough when others have dreams for us and they're different from our own. We have to have the courage to do what's right for ourselves. As Deirdre said, have our cake and eat it too. Tim, sorry, you were going to say something.
No, that was it. That's all I was going to say. And, you know, we're talking about balance here. You know, you can have it all. You just may not have it all to the extreme.
Yeah.
There's egg.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'd like
so
to
true.
Add something, too, if I
Please.
May. The piece about, you know, when other people have dreams for us. You know, I used to work in higher education. I was a residence hall director and an area coordinator. So I worked with college students who lived on campus creating residential communities. And a large part of my job, of course, was counseling interventions. And I'd have students who had academic difficulties, and they would come to me, you know, because their parents are on them about their grades and whatnot, and they were feeling really pressured. And I would chat with them, and, you know, what so often came out was that they didn't want to be majoring in what they were majoring in, but they were expected to by their families. You know, they had to go pre-med because culturally that was expected of them, or everybody in their family was doctors, so they had to be a doctor too, you know, and it's not what they wanted to do. And when I uncovered with them, what is it that you really want to do? It was always something very different, and then it was always a story about why their families would never approve of that. And then that was their discovery process, and their path was, you know, what are you going to do about that? How long are you going to spend your life doing what other people expect of you? And I also became acutely aware, back to my coming out process, about, you know, another aspect of that, about how important it seems to be to parents for their kids to do and turn out how they expect. Mm-hmm. You know, when I came out to my parents, particularly for my mom, it was like she experienced this death of what she thought she was going to have as a life in terms of what my life was going to look like and how that was going to impact her. You know, I don't think most people, when they have a kid, I don't think they sign up for the possibility that their kid is going to be gay. So they go through a having to let go of those expectations to be able to accept their child for who they are. And the thing that the I don't want to say the child, because it could be adults that are going through it too, the thing that the son or daughter goes through is that same process of reconciling, like, what are other people going to say when I violate their expectations of who and what I should be? And that causes so much pain for LGBT folks. And it's incredibly sad. You know, I volunteer on the Gay and Lesbian National Hotline, and I hear this kind of stuff all the time. Kids who attempt suicide and leave notes for their parents saying it's because I didn't think you can accept who I am. And it's just incredibly sad.
Yeah, these parents show signs of not accepting their kids. You know, it's not just the kid's intuition that's telling them that. There's visible evidence, and it's such a shame. And, you know, we could talk about that for an entire show, but I think your point is excellent, that you have to be your true self, and you can't worry what other people think. And look at Tim's case, you know, it caused years away from each other, but they're now back together, and as adults, things are better than they ever were.
I got another tweet for you, Rev.
I know, seriously, my gosh. Next time we need to hire an intern who can live tweet during the show, because I can't facilitate everything and tweet at the same time and listen intently to all that my wise co-hosts are saying. All right, you're listening to Life Coach Chat on the Life Coach Radio Network. We have a little less than 10 minutes left. If you want to call in and join the discussion, 646-716-9397, 646-716-9397. You know, I've put the spotlight on each of you, so I don't want to hide my own story, but I felt that each of you, I want to make sure each of you had a chance to share it. I think I've gone through a lot of similar stuff that both of you had said, just in terms of growing up in the church, and the church says you should get married to a woman, you know, and that Tim, my mom also wanted to keep me close to where I grew up and didn't want me to move away. And even now, with my calling in life to become a life coach, I didn't get into this career till age 40, and it wasn't even on my radar. So I think if we get back to the title of the show, Becoming One's True Self, the possibility exists that it could be something, becoming your true self could be something that you weren't even thinking was your true self. I can say with 100% conviction, and the three of you know me well, that being a life coach is the perfect career for me, and it's the perfect path to be on. And maybe it's perfect that I pursued it now and not earlier, because I needed all of that life experience to be at this point and to be doing things well and to have a broadcasting background so that I could now have a radio network with 25 of my coach friends on it. But if I think back to myself in other careers, I think I was very good at them, but there perhaps was always something, a little something missing, whether I realized it or not. And now, here I am. I know that I am my true self, that this career is what I was destined for. So I say all that to say that if you don't know yet what your true self is, you know, we've talked a lot tonight about becoming your true self, which, and we've maybe assumed that you know what it is, but you haven't gone for it. If you're in the other category that you don't yet know what it is or it's not on your radar, that's okay too. But I think I speak for everybody. We encourage you to think about, you know, what is your true self and to be open to the possibilities. All right. So we have about 5 minutes left, and I want to make sure each of you gets a chance to give final thoughts on this concept of becoming one's true self, and also what your website and or contact information is. So, ladies before gentlemen, Deirdre, let's start with you. Final thoughts on the topic of becoming one's true self.
Well, first, I just wanted to thank you again, Russ, for this opportunity and being able to speak on your show. I honestly believe, and just to kind of wrap things up, but I wanted to add something on to the end of what we were talking about prior, is that this coaching process has been such a gift. We all obviously know that because we are living examples of what this has done for us. Like, it's just amazing and something that I've never thought would ever be possible. And one thing that I had to say in regards to the whole expectation thing was that this process not only has helped me personally, but it is now helping me to become a better parent, because now I'm not even thinking about quote-unquote expectations for my daughter. I have, and for instance, like, I have family members coming up to me talking about starting a 529 account. And you know, if you start a 529 account, this is kind of thinking along the lines of, well, my kid is going to be going to college and this money needs to be used for college or else it's going to be penalized. And I said, you know what, you know, I might put it in something else, but I don't know that I want any of my money to be penalized in the event that she doesn't go to college. And if she doesn't go, guess what? I'm fine with that as long as she is going down a path that makes her happy. There's no guarantee. Just because I might want her to do that doesn't mean that that is going to be what she wants to do. And I need to be understanding about that and ready for that in the event that it happens. So that's just kind of something that I wanted to throw out there, that it's really helped me to become a little bit more open-minded as a parent. And knowing that, there might be things that I want for her, and obviously as a parent you want the best for your kids, but I'm so open about it. And getting back to me is just all about finding your true self, going down that path, and living it to the fullest potential. Again, thank you so much for the opportunity. Anyone who wants to get in contact with me, my contact information could be found on my website, which is www.gettingbacktome.com. Everything is all spelled out, gettingbacktome.com. And this is Deirdre Clark.
Deirdre, thank you so much for being on. So eloquent, so well spoken. I think this is the first of many radio appearances for you. We'll
thank
talk about
you,
that
Russ.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
All right, Tim, final thoughts from you on this topic of becoming one's true self.
Really, the final thought for me is that becoming one's true self starts with the self. You really have to keep the focus on your own life. And it's a process. 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 This is not going to happen overnight. And the last thing I really want to say is that it's something that somebody said to me years and years ago that was probably the most profound thing I ever heard, and it changed my life. And really, people, write this down. Other people's opinions of me are none of my business.
Okay. Oh, my gosh. I love that. And for everybody's knowledge, Tim was my coach for a while, and we talked at length about a situation I had in my own life where I was fretting about how somebody was acting and worried about what I did. And it turned out, as Tim so wisely said, it had nothing to do with me. And as you just said, say it one more time so I can make sure we all get it right. Other people's
opinions of me are none of my business. And you
and
can
I
reach
think
me
what
at
I
my
shared
website.
Was the opposite of that. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
That's all right. You can reach me at my website, which is DIYForYourSoul.com, www.DIYForYourSoul.com.
Awesome. And four is spelled out.
Yeah, you're correct.
DIYForYourSoul.com. All right, Tim Billiter, thank you so much for being on and for your calmness and wisdom that you shared tonight. Incredible.
Thank you, Russ.
You're welcome. All right, Mark, certainly, last but certainly not least, final thoughts for our listeners tonight on the topic of becoming one's true self and getting back to me.
Great, definitely. Thank you. Thank you, Russ. Thank you, Deirdre. Thank you, Tim. This has really been a great life coach chat. So what I would, what I would say is, you know, I think that we're each kind of designed in a very unique way to make a specific kind of contribution to life for as long as we're in it. There are certain design elements that we all have in common that make us all human beings, and there are certain design elements that each of us has that makes us a very unique human being. Just like airplanes have things that make them all airplanes, right? But there are different kinds of airplanes that are designed specifically for different kinds of purposes. Human beings are the same way. Each one of us has a unique design that predisposes us to want to make a certain kind of contribution to the world in a certain way. When we suppress that desire, we're living out of line with, you know, who we are at our spiritual core. We will be fundamentally unhappy and unsuccessful and under stress. So it's really about uncovering what is that contribution that you're here to make. We all go through this process of, you know, who am I and what's my life purpose? Well, what are the kinds of things you really feel naturally drawn to doing that you really naturally find enjoyable? Those are the clues to the things that are your contribution to the world. You know, you look at certain people, like, you know, famous people like Beethoven, you know, the contribution that he made. There is nothing else he could possibly have been placed here to do. It's so clear that that is what he was put here to do. And even his being deaf didn't stop that. Nothing can stop you from expressing your true essence in the world except for you. And so I think that's the message that I would like for people to take away. So when it comes to, you know, hearing the messages from other people about who you should be, I love Tim's tweet on that. I have another one. What people say is about them. What we hear is about us.
Mm. What people
and
say is about them. What people hear is about us. Love it.
What we hear is about us.
What we hear is about us. Love it. All right, go ahead and your info.
Yes, so if anybody would like to reach me, you can reach me through my website, which is www.markshall.com. And that's M-A-R-K, and then Shawl is S-C-H-A-L-L, like Dr. Scholl's foot products, but with an A instead of an O. www.markshall.com. That was my email address, not my website. My website is www.markshall.com.
Awesome. And you are back on the air Friday at noon for Life Coach Chat, Free Coaching Friday, noon Eastern. The topic is what again?
The topic is, it's called, I Want This So Badly, But It's Always Just Outside My Reach. We're going to be focusing on the four things that get in people's way of getting what they want.
Great stuff, Mark. Thank you for being on. And Tim, your next appearance is 2 weeks from tonight for another edition of Life Coach Chat, correct? That's right. Good. Okay. So tomorrow night on the Life Coach Radio Network, Purposeful Conversations with Jose Albino. Carmen Pena is his guest. She has workshops titled Conversations with Carmen, Life's Big Questions, and Practical Ways to Live Your Best Life Now. So Jose and Carmen will provide lots of great nuggets to listeners on how to have a more purposeful and meaningful life as it relates to relationships, career, and family. And then Thursday, our London-based coach will go on the air at 8 p.m. London time, 3 p.m. Eastern, David Benjamin Citron's Transform Your Life in 30 Minutes. It's incredible. His first show a couple Thursdays ago was very highly rated, one of our three most highly rated shows here in our premiere month, and I can't wait for his next one. I am Russ Terry, the creator and executive producer here on the Life Coach Radio Network. My website is RussTerryLifeCoach.com. That's RussTerryLifeCoach.com. And my email address is Russ@RussTerryLifeCoach.com. If you want to contact me about coaching or if you want to be on the radio network, we'd love to have you. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Like us on Facebook, Life Coach Radio Network, and also follow us on Twitter, Coach Host Radio. That's Coach Host Radio. Thank you once again to my awesome panel tonight, Tim Billiter, Mark Shaw, and our special guest, Deirdre Clark. And thank you for listening. Again, I'm Russ Terry. You're listening to Life Coach Chat on the Life Coach Radio Network. Have a great night, everybody, and get out there on your path to become your true self.